Olczyk got to it. Olczyk busting at center ice, comes over the line, shooting. He scores! Olczyk! A shorthanded goal! He just blew right through the defense at center. Coffey couldn't even catch him. Fired it by Fjord on the sixth side.
For all you young hockey players out there, this is Eddie Olczyk. Don't do what Cap's doing right now, but kidding aside, you're listening to Cap and Hawk.
Olczyk!
He's the best in the business. He's our guy. He's the great Eddie Olczyk. And we're talking Blackhawks hockey. They are in a 2-1 hole. Last time they were in the final, they were in a 2-1 hole against the Bruins. And Edzo joins us now. Good morning, Edzo. How are you today, pal?
Morning, Eddie.
Hey, Capper. Hey, David. I'm doing well. Hope you guys are doing good today.
You bet. Thanks for taking time for us. I want to start with Corey Crawford because I didn't have a huge problem with the first goal. People around me did. I thought, tip your hockey helmet, as you would say. It was a rocket. It was a great shot. Upper corner of the net. He got it in there. The second one, that one bothered me.
Hold on. I didn't think it was a great goal.
Okay.
It's Ryan Callahan. He's got one goal in his last 35 playoff games. I thought Corey could have been a little bit more aggressive. Yeah, it went crossbarring in, posting in. But, you know, I think in that situation, you know, you got to be more aggressive and you can't, you know, that puck can't beat you there.
Okay. Second one bothered me. I thought that the one 13 seconds after the Hawks took the lead, that one, even Joel said after the game, that can't go in. The third goal, he had no chance. Agreed?
Well, do I have a choice or?
Yeah, you could say I don't agree. Absolutely.
Okay. So which goal are you asking me about?
I'm asking you about the second and the third. Please give me your analysis.
So you tell me what was the issue with the second goal? You thought that it was a bad goal on Crawford's part.
I just thought he had to find a way to freeze that puck. You can't let that thing get knifed underneath you.
And I think that's the one where you do give the Lightning credit. That was just, to me, a greasy
goal.
Joel
said that puck can't go in. It can't.
Well, no, yeah, the puck can't go in. But what about Oduya getting beat to the outside?
True.
And then the Blackhawks losing the battle in front of the net. And Crawford's looking for the puck. Nobody was there to clear it. He went to reach for it, and Andre Palat with the puck in the back of the net. So, I mean, to me, you know, that's one of those greasy goals that Joel talks a lot about that he wants his team to get. And, you know, I didn't have a problem with that. And then obviously the one, you know, the beautiful pass from Hedman there, a breakdown in coverage, a couple of areas. Kaminsky in the middle of the ice. Sharp in the middle of the ice, and then Paquette got inside, and they were there, but not close enough, and Crawford had no chance on that.
That's what I think was the biggest disappointment, Eddie, was that the way that Hedman just dominated down in that play specifically, but really all night. I mean, I think he's a player that they have not had an answer for, and I think Paquette showed that last night he had the game-winning goal after having the first two games being a difference, making a difference defensively. This Lightning team is fast, they're young, they're talented. They've got a lot of prospects that are coming of age right in front of our eyes. And I think everyone realizes just what the Hawks are up against after three games.
Yeah. Well, what have I said to you guys, David, the last 10 days or so? I mean, this is a team that can skate up front and can have the offensive creativity and be able to put the puck in the net is equal as the Blackhawks. And they've taken advantage of some opportunities. And you know, look, another slow start last night. What was the verbiage, Joel? He was ordinary. I mean, was he?
Yeah.
Or I mean, is that, you know? I mean, is that what he said in his post game?
In so many words, you know, wasn't happy. They got going after the Callahan goal, kind of woke them up.
Exactly. Yep. But that was what, 3, 4, 5 minutes.
Five minutes in.
I mean, another slow start, and you know, the second period, I thought Tampa Bay really dictated and dominated a lot of the second period. And the third period, I thought, was, you know, pretty even. The Blackhawks had a lot of odd man situations that they weren't able to cash in on. So, you know, at the end of the day, is that people are realizing that, you know, other teams have really good players. And you mentioned Victor Hedman. I mean, when you guys had me on yesterday, I mean, he's been the best player in the series without question. And you saw the pass he made to Callahan, a first goal, and then you see his ability to be able to jump into the play. Beautiful play by Callahan. Hedman read the play, got outside, and then Paquette got inside the dots, beat Kaminsky to the hole, and Crawford had no chance.
What was your take on how Trevor Van Riemsdyk played in limited time, first action in the NHL since November?
He was okay. I thought he fought it. I thought he fought it in a lot of situations, and that's expected. I mean, he hasn't played in, he hasn't played a game, let alone in a National Hockey League, and it's not like he's had 180 games under his belt. He's only got 18 games. So, I mean, he had a good chance in the first period off a faceoff win. You know, one thing he does extremely well is he moves laterally with the puck, and it opens up lanes, and that's an important part of a team's offensive concept, Capper, that when you face a team that blocks a lot of shots, you got to have defensemen that have the ability and the willingness to go ahead and move laterally with the puck, make a quick move, and get the puck through the net. But, he gave up the puck a couple of times. He didn't, it's a tough spot. And, he threw the puck around the boards a couple of times, and Tampa was there to read it, and those things are going to happen. But at the end of the day, he got the game under his belt, and I'm sure he's happy about that, and we'll see what happens moving forward for game four.
Eddie, how impressed were you with Ben Bishop in the way that I thought he got stronger as the game got longer? And to me, he clearly was laboring and overcoming some sort of injury situation.
Yeah, I mean, anytime he went right to left, David, when he would slide right to left on his pads, that's where he would have the issue getting up on his left side. And, we showed a bunch of replays last night on our NBCSN broadcast. But you're right, third period, he did not look like he was had any issues at all. Moving side to side, he looked very comfortable. I mean, he's a guy, I didn't make mention of it in the broadcast. I mean, I came home last night and I watched the first period and then got up this morning and watched the rest of the game today. I should have mentioned, I'm going to mention tomorrow night. I mean, the one thing that he does very well is he handles the puck. Like, he likes to handle the puck. Sometimes he's a little bit too aggressive. And I think what's happened here with whatever is ailing him is kept him in a little bit more than what I've been accustomed to watching and seeing. He played the puck a little bit more in that third period. That seemed to help out his defense.
And so I think back to when I was in the basketball world and you would get a guy with four fouls and you'd be like, okay, we got to go at him.
Sure.
And it takes you away from what you do best. You're so focused on fouling that guy out. And that's what I felt like watching Ben Bishop. Yeah, he wasn't 100%, but they got so focused, like, oh my God, this guy's just get this, big-time debilitating problem. And at the end of the night, 36 of 38, he kicked away. He found a way to say, you know what, it's not as bad as you guys might think. Agreed or disagree?
I think you make the valid point about going at the at the guy that's got four fouls and attacking. And I think, again, going back to Joel's post-game comments and in the presser, just saying, oh, look, he didn't get enough second and third chance opportunities, didn't get to the blue paint, didn't get inside the dots enough. The first period they did, after the first 4 or 5 minutes, they got there and had some chances, a couple of extra whacks in there, and but they need some help. They need some guys to step up. They need Patrick Sharp to get going. Bickle didn't play a lot after the bad penalty he took. Vermette, they need more from Vermette. And look, they need more from their best guys. They need more from Toews and Kane. And I think at times I thought it was Patrick Kane's best game of the series. The first period, I think he had 5 or 6 attempts. I think he officially had 3 shots on goal. I don't know if he got any more the rest of the game. I can't remember if he did or he didn't. But, you need more from a lot of guys. And, for Bishop, he seemed to gain some traction, some confidence. And, they found a way to win game 3. And we'll see what happens tomorrow night.
So, Eddie, all day today and tomorrow, we're going to hear around Chicago how, the Hawks have been here before, and they have been down 2-1 in 2013 against the Bruins. They ended up – we all know how that one ended up. How much is it worth comparing? Is that to you an apt comparison to look at that history and see that, okay, to calm people, or do you think that that's an invalid comparison?
Well, I think it's fair because – they've been through this before. So, again, how often have I told you, mentioned to you guys, it's the first 1-4. It's not the first 1-2 or 3. It's the best of 7. It's the first 1-4. So, yeah, they've been in a situation before. Tampa's not going away. They're in a pretty good spot, but so were the Bruins. And the Hawks have had guys to be able to rise to the occasion. Look at the series before. You think about the roller coaster type of ride it's been. You go back to game 2 of the Western Conference Final. The Hawks win that triple overtime game, and the majority of people are saying there's no way Anaheim can win that game after losing triple overtime at home. The series is good, won. The Hawks are a better team, on and on and on. And who ended up winning game 3? Anaheim. So, I believe in momentum. I think we've had this discussion before. I'm a big believer of momentum. It's what do you do with it to start? And then it's all out the window. So for me, you can rely on your experience. You can rely on the past. But for the Blackhawks, I think their biggest concern would be is they need to have a better start. And the one thing I think is what we're seeing here is that even though Tampa had to hold on there for a good amount of that time in the first period after a great start, this team is very well coached. They have very good leadership, and the players understand their role. And the Blackhawks are going to have to try to crack through that at different times. So when you get the momentum and the surge is in your favor, you got to cash in, because the other team certainly can do that with one opportunity. We saw that on the game-winning goal.
Talking to the great Eddie Olczyk, the U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer here on Cap and Haw. Edzo, is there a surprise to you in this series, something that you look at it, you go, that surprised me?
Not really, Cap. I mean, I did all the games with the Rangers and the Lightning and Eastern Conference Final, and you know, I did a good majority of the games with the Hawks and the Hawks and Ducks in the Western Conference Final. It's been a close series. You could look at this a couple of different ways. I mean, you know, you want to say it was a missed opportunity last night with the empty nets that the Hawks had in the first period? Absolutely. Is the game different if the Hawks get up 2-3-1? Yeah, probably, but you know, we don't know that. But let's go back and say, well, what happened in game one? Tampa had the 1-0 lead. The Hawks were coming, but Tampa had a couple of great chances. Corey Crawford won the game in game one, in my opinion. The Hawks got two goals in a matter of, what, a buck 37, 2 minutes, whatever it was. So you're going to have these up and downs, and you're going to win games maybe when you're not supposed to, and you're going to give games up. And for me, it's all about worrying about the first period tomorrow night. And learn from what's going on. But there's really nothing that surprised me in this series. I tried to explain to people and give a scouting report on Tampa. And as I said to you guys before, a lot of people in this town thought the series would be over in three games. That's not the case. Tampa is a good team, a very well-coached team, and they got guys that are stepping up big time, just like the Hawks have had guys step up in the past and winning two cups in 5 years.
Eddie, I think when we watched Marian Hossa miss the wide-open net in the first period, that we – I know that I'm watching it. I mean, you're forming conclusions quickly. You're thinking to yourself, boy, how could he miss that? It looks so easy. And yet, do we underestimate the degree of difficulty when he's being tripped from behind? Describe what might be going through the head of a Marian Hossa at that point and how difficult that might be that we might not see.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to think about that when I watched it over and over this last night when I watched that first period when I got home, David, and you know, he's going, he made the perfect move, right? He faked the shot, he got to the inside, Colburn trips him up, and trust me, I mean, you're off balance, and you're just trying to make sure that you can turn that bottom hand over to make sure you put it into the back of the net, and it happens. I mean, and you see the reaction on his face too, David, after. I mean, he just couldn't believe that he missed that opportunity, and you know, it's tough to score in this league, and it's tough to score when somebody's tripping you up and you're off balance and all your weight is on, you know, is really on your stick. And it's not an excuse; it's a fact. Like, it's easy to say he should have put it in, but when you're off balance like that, you need a little bit of luck too. And like I said, it's just one of those things. Unfortunate for Marian Hossa and the Blackhawks that he wasn't able to put it in the back of the net. But look, give Colburn credit, right? I mean, he got beat, and that's one of those you call a good penalty because he was able to trip up Hossa and not allow him to put that puck into the back of the net.
And so I was going through the most highly compensated goaltenders in the NHL. If you had to be honest, I'm not asking you to criticize.
Whoa, time out here. But let's go back to before. What's the honest part? What do you mean? Well, I'm not honest with you?
No, you always are. But okay, if you had to rank the goaltenders, where's Corey Crawford?
Corey Crawford was a top five goaltender this year in the regular season. End of story. This year was his best year as a professional goaltender.
Who did you have in that top five?
My opinion. End of story.
Top five. Who are they?
The Blackhawks were not a wild card because of Corey Crawford. He had two bad weeks in a regular season. End of story.
Right. But who are the top five?
Do you have a list, or do you want me to give you who I think are the top five in the league?
I would like you to give me who you think the top five were this year.
This year?
Yeah.
Lundqvist, mm-hmm. Price, Crawford, Rene for the majority of the year, but he wasn't very good after he came back from his injury. Let's make that perfectly clear.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Halak had an outstanding year with the Islanders. Would he have 40-some wins?
Yep.
Off the top of my head, I would say those five guys.
See, Crawford's in that mix.
So Dubnyk's not in there?
For the regular season. Let me make it perfectly clear. For the regular season.
What about Dubnyk?
Well, he had a great regular season.
No, look at it. You're right. I completely.
Yeah, Dubnyk had a great regular season. Yeah.
I mean, you got to put Dubnyk in there for sure. And let me say this. He wasn't just great in Minnesota. I mean, he was very good in Phoenix as well. And that's one of the reasons why Arizona traded him, is because he was actually outplaying Mike Smith at that particular time. So, yeah, I would put, you know what, I would put Dubnyk in there for sure, and I might even take Rene out and put Halak in there when you look at the start of the season to the end of the season. So, yeah, my bad, you guys are right. I definitely would have Dubnyk in the top five for sure.
Interesting. It's just
is that okay?
I'm not sure where Cap's going with this, Eddie.
Hold on.
I know.
Are you okay with that cap, or you say, nah, Edsel's full of it? Which is it?
I agree with you.
Oh, wait a second. You just said before Corey Crawford's not a top five goalie. Eddie says it, and you say, I agree with you.
I'm not quantifying it like Eddie did, who are the top five in the regular season. If you had a draft of NHL goaltenders, Corey Crawford's not going in the top five. And if that GM...
He's going in the top 10. He'd be going in the top 10.
Yes, he's going in the top 10.
Yeah, and I said top 10.
Okay.
But he's not going in the top five. And if he does go in the top five, I want that GM on my schedule because there's five other guys I'd take ahead of him.
Okay, so let me just make it perfectly clear. Like I said, during the regular season, from the games that I watch in person and on television, there is no question in my mind that Corey Crawford was a top five goaltender. When you look at the numbers, when you look at the body of work from the start to the end of the season, yeah, did he have a rough stretch after he had the off-ice injury? Absolutely. But I'm just talking going into the playoffs. I don't think anybody in this town thought that goaltending was going to be an issue coming into the first round of the playoffs. Now, look, it didn't play out that way in the first round. We understand that. But I believe is that Corey Crawford had his best year in the National Hockey League in the regular season as a top five goaltender.
And I don't think they trailed 2-1 in the series, Cap, because of Corey Crawford. I think that's what you're suggesting.
Absolutely not. Game one, they won because of Corey Crawford.
I'm not suggesting that. Let's just be clear. Because five minutes ago, he called me Corey Crawford's biggest defender.
Capper.
Yes.
Do you agree with that or not? I think that's what's full of it.
No, I agree with you there.
You get where I'm going here with the only options you get when I ask you a question now? Are you getting that or no?
I like that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just telling you, as I went through the salaries.
Well, now why do you bring salaries into it? That has nothing to do with it.
Because we live in a salary cap environment, Eddie.
Okay, just because the general manager just decides to pay a player, that decides on, well, he should be in the top five if you pay him $7 or $8 million. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying
is, and that wasn't the question he asked you either.
In a salary cap world, if you pay a large amount of money to a guy, you better get, and you said he was top five in the regular season, you better get that kind of productivity when you spend $6 million of a $71 million cap next year.
Oh, I'm not going to argue, but look, what are your options? What is the issue? Like, it should not, forget the salary. Look at performance, okay? That's the one thing. That's what you got to look at. And if you think, again, go back. If it's not for Corey Crawford, the Blackhawks are a wild card team.
Agreed.
And they might be golfing right now. You have to be fair.
Whoa, 5 minutes ago you called me Crawford's biggest defender.
It was a different context.
I am not coming down on Corey Crawford.
Let's be clear. Okay.
Let's be clear.
Eddie, thank you for the...
I understand.
For the common
sense. Either can be you are or nah, you're not.
You're unbelievable.
Thank you, Eddie, for the common sense.
You are unbelievable. By the way,
have a great day, huh?
Yep.
Go to Edzo. Go to my Twitter feed. The Wall Street Journal put the 73 Belmont against the 2015 Belmont, like side by side. And you could see who would have won the race in their scenario.
Okay, now wait a second. Are you saying that who do you think would win that race?
Secretariat by double-digit lengths.
Okay. Yeah.
Not even close.
Well, I don't know about not even close, but yeah, I was hoping that you would go there.
Yeah, if you just take the times, he wins by 15.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, okay. All right.
All right, Sham.
All right. You guys have a great day.
See you, Eddie.
Love you, Edzo.
David, have a couple of Tylenol on me, okay?
Oh, I do. Thank you.
Bye, Edzo.
Take care, bud.
See you. As always.
It's our guy. Great Eddie Olczyk. Look, I can't be Crawford's biggest defender at 10:09. At 10:17, you guys are crushing
well,
on me.
Well, but you were defending... I forget the reference to that. But you were angling for an argument there.
No, absolutely not.
You were asking Eddie.
Eddie came loaded for bear this morning.
The questions were loaded.
And all I know is that yesterday, I was walking to the bathroom. I run into a very nattily attired Tommy Olczyk. And he goes, Cabber, just keep giving it to my dad. Keep busting. It's my guy, Tommy Olczyk. We'll take a timeout. We'll come right back and get to these calls. 312-235-2520. It's Cap'n Hall.
Now back to Cap'n Hall on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Joel, each team has won one game, and it's now a best-of-five series. You now have home ice for games 3 and 4. How do you want to take advantage of that situation?
Well, let's be excited about being home. It's been a while since we've been back here, and I'm sure the noise and enthusiasm and the buzz that's been around town is going to be infectious in this building here.
Infectious?
Infectious. Hey, enthusiasm is infectious.
There you go. Cap'n Hall continues at Comcast Sportsnet. Between you picking on me and Edzo, jeez.
Oh, come on.
Welcome back to Cap'n Hall.
I can't even remember what it was about.
And Comcast Sports Net.
Certainly you can shrug it off. I can't even remember it.
I'm tough. I'll shrug it off. Okay. 312-235-2525.
That's been around town is going to be infectious.
Hey, it's a best of four now, Mike. It's a best of four.
Oh, you're bringing back the Derrick Rose
Derrick
drop.
Rose.
There you go.
Let's go back to the phones. Magoo in Glenview. Magoo, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Magoo.
Hey, guys. A lot of fireworks a couple weeks before the 4th of July there.
There you go.
Hey, win or lose the cup this year, which one of these high-priced lovers you think the Hawks are going to deal next year? You know, the invisible men like Sharp, Bickle, even Versteeg.
Well, I don't know about Versteeg in terms of, you know, he makes a lot of money, but I think Patrick Sharp
is making $4.4 million.
All three of them might be in play.
I don't know
where the cap is going to be yet. I don't know if they know what they're going to pay Brandon Saad yet. He's a restricted free agent.
Yeah, he's only making $7.95.
That's going
to change. Tarabine was making, what, $9.25.
That won't change.
Sorry, you think Kane's collarbone might be bothering him and lack of production?
No.
No, not at all.
No. Thanks, Magoo. I don't think that injury is an issue with Patrick Kane. It's just he's had a quiet series.
They've done a good job on him.
You have to give him credit. They have done a nice job. As far as the salary cap decisions, those are going to be fluid situations. All three of those guys that you mentioned, that he mentioned, Sharp, Bickle, Versteeg will be at the top of the list of guys who will be shopped, I would imagine. I'd be very surprised. I don't want to say shocked. That's a word we tend to overuse. But I would not expect Patrick Sharp to be a member of the Blackhawks. That's not exactly going out on a limb after July 1st. I would be have similar expectations for Brian Bickle. I think that if you could find a taker for Chris Versteeg, you probably would. But you're unloading a lot of high-priced veteran talent that you aren't going to be able to afford because Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews' contract kick in. 8 years, $84 million. I just wrote it.
I believe it's 8.4 average per guy. Yeah, I think that's correct.
So it was, there's some realities that come into play when you sign guys that long a contract and you pay them that much. It's money well spent. These are decisions you have to make, but it's all part of the business. 8 years, $84 million. Yeah, the kick of July 1st.
There you go. We'll get to Danny and Berwyn, Bob in Glendale Heights. And we've got Dan Rosen at 10:25, so he'll join us for a few minutes from NHL.com. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at Apt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into Apt today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them up at 847-544-2222. 1-800-228-2828 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, better experience. Shop app, ABT, app. App.com, the website. Ask for Steve Shapiro. App pleasing people since 1936.
What's so funny?
I was just thinking, remember the guy we had
yesterday
from TSN?
Yeah.
Aaron Ward.
Yes, I was not on that segment.
Okay, well, I asked him about, I didn't actually, Lazarus asked him, where's Corey Crawford? He said, elite or, average. And I believe, to quote him, he said, average. Chris Osgood, he's an average goalie. And if I had brought him up,
oh,
Eddie would you know what.
Don't do that.
You want to talk about Aaron Ward or you want to talk to me? I'm okay. Eddie Olczyk, U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer.
Especially with that topic, Eddie's made clear that Crawford had his best regular season of his career.
He did.
That's not average. That's not average.
I didn't say he is. I simply said that's what the guy from TSN said. But I would never
bring that up
to Edzo.
Well, you know, it wasn't me. It was somebody else that told me. And they said, I want to know what you think about what somebody else told me so I can get you inflamed to argue with me.
Correct.
That's your
M.O. Pile of dry leaves.
Yeah, I got you.
Throw a match out there.
I got you. It's the cap method.
Lighter fluid. Take a time out. We'll come right back. Cap and Haw.
It's Cap and Haw.
Two empty nets and didn't capitalize on either one. And we still had 1-1 and scored a big power play goal and had got some excitement. The crowd was there. We thought we had a real good first. They had a good second. And third was even. And tough loss.
Yeah, I thought I had a few in the first. The second was kind of a weird period. And then, you know, the third, was different. Where we got a lead, gave it up, and then you're fighting from behind and they're kind of sitting back. So probably do a better job of trying to create.
It is what it is. We just have to, you know, take advantage. Too bad we missed a couple empty netters early. But, you know, we just have to capitalize on that.
Q, Kane, Hossa, in that order. You're listening to Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. Sports Talk Live comes your way later this afternoon at 5 o'clock. And then it's the Cubs and the Tigers. And I'll be back for the post game with Todd Hollinsworth tonight on CSN.
That'll be a long day.
It's all right.
Who's pitching for the Cubs?
Who is going? I have to look. I don't even know who's pitching.
I'm not doing
for the
Sports
Cubs
Talk
today.
Live tonight, am I?
You're not. You're
okay.
On tomorrow.
All right. Let's make
you're
sure.
On tomorrow.
It's good.
312-235-2525. Dan Rosen does great work at NHL.com. He is their senior writer. He joins us now. You've seen him on CSN with us before. Dan, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Morning, Dan.
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're doing very well. I said to both Eddie Olczyk and to David Haw, look, I know Bishop was dealing with something, but I think sometimes that stuff gets so overblown. It's like a guy with four fouls in a basketball game. We got to go right at him, and you end up taking your away from your game plan. He played great. He didn't look that injured to me. Steven Stamkos said after the game, didn't look hurt to me at all. What was your take on Bishop?
He looked hurt to me.
That's what David says.
Yeah, he looked hurt to me. You know, I mean, he looked like he was really struggling. He was laboring to go side to side. He had to struggle sometimes to even stand up, almost as if he was using his stick as a cane to just get up, hunched over a little bit. But you know what he did? He fought through it in the first period. He survived that period somehow. His rebound control was not good. That might have something to do with whatever it is bothering him, because I clearly think something is bothering him. There were some opportunities there for Chicago in the first period to really put the hammer down, and they couldn't do it. And then I think as that wore on, the Lightning got better. Certainly in the second period, they were way better than they were in the first period. And Bishop also improved, and I think he started to feel a little bit more comfortable. It's almost as if whatever was bothering him, he just put it to the side. And, you know, that's when he started to play really well. I thought he had a real rough start, but he survived. Even though he made 18 saves in that first period, a lot of them were, you know, I mean, left a lot of rebounds, a lot of pucks right in front of the net. Hossa misses the empty net. But he survived, and then I think he got better. But clearly I think something's bothering him.
I agree with you, Dan. I think that you watch the way that he was, especially in the first period, sort of fighting the puck a little bit, and he just looked like a guy who I did not expect to come out for the second period. I thought at the intermission they might make a change. I think some other people speculated that as well. But I think that you have to give him credit, and you have to give Tampa Bay credit for being where they are in this series, and that's in command. So if you had to guess – or not a guess – if you had to evaluate what surprises you most after three games of this series on either team, what would it be?
Well, I guess the Paquette thing I didn't see coming. No, I don't think anybody really could have seen Cedric Paquette having such a big influence in this series, not only on a score sheet, which, I mean, definitely didn't see that coming, considering coming into this series, I think it was the Lightning at 55 goals, and 45 of them were from their top six forwards. And it was 56. It was 46 of 56 after game one. So I certainly didn't see Cedric Paquette being an impact, being an impact player on the score sheet. But the idea that he has been tasked with playing significant minutes against some of the top players in the world, and he's doing a heck of a job in that, in doing that, that's blowing me away. Like, he is one of the MVPs of this series so far for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Did not see that one coming at all. And, you know, as a result, you don't see Patrick Kane being as ineffective as he's been. Jonathan Toews only has 1 point. It was the assist on Seabrook's goal in game two. He hasn't been terribly effective. I mean, he was really good in the faceoff circle, but not that big of a deal so far in the offensive zone. And Victor Hedman, which is not a surprise to me, he's a big part of that as well, why Toews and Kane have struggled. He's been so good in this series, and he was all world last night. So I just think when you look at all that combination, I didn't see the Paquette thing happening. I didn't see Toews and Kane getting shut down. Kind of saw Hedman being as good as he was, but not in the way that he has been.
When you look at a guy like Hedman, I think at the start of the series, Eddie Olczyk said it best, that people in this town, most of them thought, series will be over in 3 games. And they're finding out that's not going to happen. Hedman, look, Duncan Keith's a great player, 2-time Norris Trophy, going to the Hall of Fame. Hedman's every bit as equal in this series. No question about it.
Yeah, there's no question about it. He does things that are just so remarkable. He skates to me like Scott Niedermayer skated, almost like he floats on the ice. Like, it's this glide, and it's just like he's fast, and he just gets up in the play, and all of a sudden he's up in the play, and then all of a sudden he's back. And he's just like, how did he do that? And then he also has the physicality and the size of a Chris Pronger. And he can put all of that together to be 6'6" and 230 pounds and to make the plays that he's making. The rush that he had on Paquette's winner yesterday was it was like the seas parted for him, because there's this big guy coming with speed, and who wants to get in the way of that, right? And then the pass he made to Ryan Callahan, that was a 120-foot slap pass right on the tape. That's unbelievable.
You know, Dan, I think this series has been fun for people who weren't that familiar with John Cooper. I think it's certainly, we've learned more about his background. Fascinating. He used to be a lawyer. You know the story. You've written it. And last night, I was curious to see how he responded to being, to playing on, you know, the Blackhawks home ice and with the matchup issues. And at some point during the game, it seemed to me, and I was watching, I was certainly more from the Blackhawks perspective, but did Cooper just say, essentially, okay, I'm not worried about the matchups. Whatever line is out there is going to be the line that I trust, and I'm not going to do as much mixing and matching, and he just let things happen as they happened?
Yeah, I think so. That's his philosophy, too. And that's why I was a little bit surprised in the first two games, even though they had home ice advantage, so they had the last change advantage, that it was such a matchup-driven first two games for Cooper, because he's not a matchups coach. He has not been in these playoffs a big time on matchups, but he was in games one and two, but he didn't have that advantage in game three. I think one of the best things about John Cooper is his swagger and his belief and trust in his players and the confidence he has in them. And that showed to me yesterday, where I agree with you, he basically said, all right, forget about this. We're going to play the way we need to play. And we're going to roll our guys out there. We're going to roll our lines. We're going to roll our D pairs. And it's going to work in our favor, because we know it does. It always does. And that's the confidence that he has. It did. The players feed off of that. I also think there's something, and this probably is what he's thinking too, that there's a detriment to trying to match. Joel Quenneville is one of the best matchup coaches in the league, especially when he has the advantage. Even when he doesn't have the advantage, look what he did to Bruce Boudreau in Game 7. I mean, it was unbelievable. He had Boudreau spinning his head. And Cooper doesn't want to get into that, because it takes away the rhythm of his team, you know, because guys are wondering, okay, who's going over the boards? When am I going over the boards? Is he going over the boards? Or who am I going to match up against? It takes away the flow. So just let him play. If you trust your guys, let him play. And I think that's really what he did.
Yeah, I definitely think that's what he did, and I think that's dangerous, because it announced to people who did not realize it in Chicago, this Lightning team is deep, they're fast, yeah. they're skilled, and they're dangerous, and they're not going away. And I think that there's a sense of, okay, in Chicago, and you're here, and you were here in 2013, that they've trailed 2-1 in series before. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the Bruins scenario and how the Hawks came back from that down 2-1, and you look at where they are right now, differences, similarities, how do you compare the two situations?
Well, if I remember the Bruins one correctly, it was almost as if Chicago had to change its style of play a little bit because Boston wasn't going to get out of its structure in its game.
Physicality.
Yeah, more physicality, had to establish more of a cycle game, less off the rush, less on the stretch pass, get the puck in, be physical, forecheck, go to work. That's not the Blackhawks' bread and butter. They're good at it, there's no doubt, but it's not their bread and butter. But they changed, and it worked, and they won. In this series, I think after three games now, I wonder if there's a little bit of, okay, we're basically staring at ourselves in the mirror here, and this team is as good as us, and we've got to step it up here. I'm not saying the Blackhawks can't do that. They obviously can do that. But I think there's a little bit of an element of surprise here that's come out in the first three games. The Blackhawks, I don't want to say they underestimated Tampa, but they didn't really know a lot about them. People would say things, but now after three games, they're staring themselves in the mirror, and they're finding out that just like they are, this team they're facing is pretty darn good, and they're not going away, and they can beat us just in the same way we beat teams. So we got to step it up. And now I'm curious to see how they do in game four, because they don't have to change the way they play. They just have to play better.
That's a great point. Dan Rosen, NHL.com senior writer, is with us. Hawks made some lineup changes yesterday with TVR. Trevor Van Riemsdyk in, Brian Bickle in. I didn't think Van Riemsdyk was bad. He was okay. I mean, first game since November. I expect him in there tomorrow. What was your take on Brian Bickle?
Not very noticeable.
Hadn't been much this postseason with the exception of hitting.
Yeah, not very noticeable. Not a good penalty that he took too. He's got to be a space creator for Patrick Kane, and it's got to really help Kane's game. I thought Kane had a better game in Game 3 than he did in Game 2. I thought he had the puck more, sort of demanded the puck a little bit more, but still wasn't effective, still was very much on the outside. Bickle's got to be a guy that gets to the front of the net and creates some space for Patrick Kane to get, you know, to get in and make. Bickle's got to make people worry about him, so Patrick Kane has maybe that little extra space to work with. And I don't think he was that effective in doing that. Last night, it wasn't very noticeable at all.
Dan, thanks for your insight. Enjoy your time here in the city, and we'll see you game four.
Love the city. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a great, great town. And especially the way they have adopted this Blackhawks team.
Yeah, it's huge. It's great. Love it.
All the best to you, buddy. See you tomorrow.
Okay, take care, guys.
Thanks. There he is, Dan Rosen from NHL.com, who we've had on Sports Talk Live a bunch.
Yeah, he's
too.
Very good at just breaking things down. And I think his assessment of the differences between 2013 and 2015, right on the money, and also somewhat as accurate as they are, equally alarming probably for Hawks fans, because the Hawks are looking at a mirror image of themselves, and that is difficult to overcome.
It is.
The Lightning could play in the Western Conference.
They could.
I mean, that's the kind of style
that
they
are. Maybe that's why they're the team left standing in the East.
It might be, but they are standing tall right now, and they're going to be tough to topple, if you will.
For weeks, you've been hearing me talk about MyPillow. Have you taken my advice and ordered yourself a MyPillow yet? MyPillow, the guaranteed most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Try it. No risk to you. Sleep on it for 60 nights. If you don't love it as much as I do, no problemo. Return it. They'll refund 100% of the purchase price. That's how confident the folks at MyPillow is in their product. MyPillow, the official pillow, recommended by the National Sleep Foundation. MyPillow even has a cooling effect. Summer heat and humidity is coming. You need a pillow that keeps your head cool and comfortable. Test one out. See why they've sold over 5 million pillows. Act this week. MyPillow gives you 50% off all products if you use the promo code CAP. Log on, MyPillow.com, promo code's K-A-P, or 800-299-5854, 800-299-5854, 800-299-5854. MyPillow.com, use the promo code K-A-P, get 50% off. Take a quick time out. Danny in Berwyn and Bob in Glendale Heights. still have Paul Sullivan coming up at 11:10. The draft rounds 1 and 2 have come and gone for the Cubs and the White Sox. We will discuss that with Sully. Be right back.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
I just try to be ready every time they call my number to go over the boards and just try to play my best. But it was more excitement. I felt like I was as prepared as I could be, and with all these great teammates and family being so supportive and instilling confidence in me, it kind of helped settle the nerves there and just be ready to play hockey.
Joe, what did you just think of Trevor's first game?
I like this game. He's fine.
TBR back in the defensive core, and if Johnny Oduya doesn't present well today, TBR could see a lot more minutes.
Yeah, and Joe Quenneville was quite complimentary by his standards post-game. Put it this way, he did not say anything that led you to believe that TBR would not be in the lineup for Game 4.
Right.
After a seven-month layoff, that's quite a tall task. I mean, it's difficult to expect a guy to make an impact when he's played 18 NHL games, period, and playing in his first NHL game at that speed in 7 months.
I mean, I can't imagine him stepping on the ice going, whoa, those are the other players?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And he didn't do anything that stood out for the wrong reasons. Hey, did you see the Charles Barkley thing?
I did.
So he buys the Tampa Bay Lightning group, about 20 of them, dinner at Chicago Cut.
He was on the phone with David Flom, who owns Cut,
okay,
with his partner Matt Moore. David, who's a good friend of mine, and Charles are best friends. So they talk all the time. So Charles is on the phone with David. He goes, hey, you know, just came in here. John Cooper, the coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and assistants and some scouts and executives. He's like, take me, you have my credit card.
They became friends last year in L.A., Barkley and Cooper. Yeah, they're friends, apparently. They became buddies at some L.A. event. I'm not sure. That's a story.
Yeah, I just know he and the owner of Cut are best friends.
Yeah, but I think that – but what would motivate a guy to buy the Lightning dinner?
If you got millions, why not?
Yeah. A year ago, he was wearing a Blackhawks sweater.
Yeah.
At a game high-fiving fans.
Correct.
And he loved the Blackhawks.
That doesn't, because he fed John Cooper doesn't mean he doesn't still love the Blackhawks.
No, he loves the Lightning. He loves the Lightning.
I don't know about that.
Yes, I think that there's proof. I think that's the story I read.
I don't think he loves the Lightning.
I think he's a Lightning fan.
And I think if he came here for a game in this series, he would wear a Hawks sweater.
What's it you call me? Bandwagger? Okay, that's Charles Barkley.
You think Charles Barkley's a bandwagon guy?
I think he's a bandwagger.
That's terrible.
That is terrible.
He's buddies with John Cooper. John Cooper's a likable guy. He's a likable coach. And nonsense yesterday with Ben Bishop was a little over the top, but they're entitled.
What do you think Charles Barkley and Cooper talk about?
I don't know.
While they're sitting over a
steak. What I thought was odd, is that there was a friendship there. And, I mean, how does that develop?
Chuck's just a personable dude, man.
Chuck's just a personable dude, man.
He is.
Gets that hip rhetoric here at the Cap and Haw Show.
He's just a personable guy. I mean.
Yeah. So is John Cooper.
I like John Cooper.
Charles Barkley, though, is he's a friend. How many people do you think you said he's best friends?
He and David Flom are tight.
How many people around the country, though, have said that about Charles Barkley? They're best friends. He's best friends.
I don't know.
Your guy Wilbon last night at the game.
He and Chuck are tight.
They're best friends. How many best friends can one guy have?
So I'm hanging out with my wife, and there's Wilbon in a Hawks sweater. He's got the Hawk jersey going, rocking the jersey. I said, what's going on, Michael? He said, I watch you guys all the time. I text David Haw. I watch every day back in D.C. Great show. Love it. And I'm headed to Cleveland in the morning for Cavs Golden State tonight.
He's a big Chicago sports fan. There's no doubt about it.
Good guy.
Good guy.
Yep.
Like good guy. Love their show, too. I like their show.
By the way, Blackhawks 30-30 in games 1 through 3 of a playoff series under Joel Quenneville, 40-14 games 4 through 7. So if you're looking for a trend, that's
I'm ignoring
a
all
good
trends
trend.
This series. I'm ignoring the trends.
It's a good trend.
Cooper met Barkley on a road trip last year, and the two became fast friends. Joe Smith reported in April that the Lightning coach called Barkley, known most recently as a stunningly blunt and outspoken NBA analyst, one of the greatest guys he's ever met. That's in today's Tampa Bay Times.
Bandwagon.
That's not me. That's good, Barkley.
Good timing.
So he has adopted the Lightning, according to the Tampa Bay Times. I'm not making this stuff up.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, how you roll there, Cap Man. I document the stuff that I throw out there.
All right.
All right.
By the way,
you just totally dismissed that.
All right. I still all right. believe all right. He's rooting for both.
You can believe whatever you want to believe. I believe in what I read and documented.
Well, also, we have breaking news. Cubs have just signed Rafael Soriano.
How old is he now?
35.
You knew that was coming. They have the same. He has the same agent as Joe Maddon.
Minor league deal. Expected to make 3 or so appearances, maybe 4, at the minor league level. Get his arm ready, and then bring him up.
Okay, we'll get Paul Sullivan at 11-10. What is going on with the closer situation? Then you tell me how this affects, how this impacts the closer situation. What the mindset is, and who is
the closer,
the best option right now. And who will be?
I think it's situational.
Well, it is right now, but who's going to be the guy?
If they go to the playoffs, the guy who's closing for them is not currently on the roster. And that does not, and that includes Rafael Soriano. I don't think he's the answer.
Interesting. You were making some whispers. Cubs are about to make a big deal yesterday. Is there anything to that?
They're kicking the tires on a bunch of
stuff. Did
you not
want me to say that? Did you want me to say you mentioned it earlier, right?
I said earlier that I'm hearing that they are kicking the tires on a couple of big names.
I thought that you said that. I listened to the show.
Nothing's happened yet.
Okay.
Unless you consider Rafael Soriano to a minor league deal.
That's
a
something.
Big deal.
It's not a big deal. It's a piece. The Sox didn't think that Dustin Hermanson was going to be any big deal in 2005. And then all of a sudden they couldn't stop believing.
Here's Rafael Soriano's numbers last year with Washington, where he pitched 2 years. 4-1 with a .319, 64 appearances, finished 48 ball games, pitched 62 innings, 32 saves. Let's see. He had a whip of 1.129. So
okay,
he's been solid.
All right, just to close the loop on Barkley before we get back to the callers and talk to Sully.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Lightning were trailing the Red Wings 2-1 in the best of 7 series early in the playoffs, Barkley went on the inside the NBA. Come on, Tampa Bay. I haven't given up on you yet, Coach Coop. That's what he said. And this is what Cooper says about his friendship with Barkley. It's just a perfect example. I haven't spoken to him in 6 months, and for him to be following us and cheering for us, that shows the class of a guy he is. It's awesome. Lightning fan. Charles Barkley.
Well, then I better not see him in a Kane sweater.
Okay.
Or I'm going to tackle him. Going down, Charles.
I would love to see that.
Boom.
That'd be a great segment. Cap tackles Barkley.
Down he goes.
Cap tackles.
Don't
fill in the blank.
Representing a Blackhawk sweater and then letting us know that you're rooting for Tampa.
You should consider that for Sports Talk Live segment. Cap tackles.
Be a whatever. Good segment.
Yeah.
Followed by Cap goes to hospital directly after.
Kind of like your hockey segment.
Yeah.
Your skating segment.
All right. That did not end
go
well.
Go to the rink, end up on
segment.
Crutches.
All right. We'll get some more calls in and then talk to Paul Sullivan. We call him Sully. And we'll find out what's going on with both sides of town. Rafael Soriano, first reported, by the way, by Gordon Wittenmeyer. Give the hat tip where it deserves. G-Dub Cub on Twitter. First to report, Rafael Soriano to the Cubbies. Be right back.